increases.
And now we're going to move on to the track report. Loretta. Loretta O'Brien from the Science Center.
Yes, good afternoon.
Sorry for the delay.
Yeah, well, you know.
Stuff happens.
Exactly. Okay, so this has a pointer. I don't know if I want to use a pointer. People sitting in front of the... Okay. All right, just quickly, I'm going to go over the assessment results from the track for Eastern Georgia's Bank Cotton Haddock and Georgia's Bank Yellowtail. And just looking at this figure, just to remind everyone that Eastern Georgia's Bank is a management unit for Cotton Haddock, and it includes the statistical areas 51 and 52 on the U.S. side, which is predominantly the closed area, and area 561, 62 on the Canadian side of the line. Then for yellowtail flounder, it's all statistical areas east of the Great South Channel. At the track, we determine what the allocation shares are, and they're based on 10% utilization and 90% resource distribution. And when you work those numbers out, I'm sorry, this slide's much smaller than I thought it would be. Percentages will be for cod, the U.S. will get 19% share of the quota. For haddock, it will be 43%. And for yellowtail, it will be 55% for fishing year 2011. And George will go over more of that in detail. So on to the Eastern Georgia's Bank Atlantic cod fishery. The catch in 2009, the combined Canadian-U.S. 2009 catch was 1,858 metric tons against a quota of 1,700. The Canadians caught 1,200 metric tons of the cod, and their quota was 1,173. And the U.S. caught 649 metric tons. Now, that's the calendar year. A total of 649, and the quota was 527, which is on the fishing year. The fishing year catch was about 517, I think. In the assessment, we had a benchmark assessment in 2008, and the track recommended that we go forward with two models for this fishery. Two VPA formulations. One was called, one's called the split 0.2, and the other is the M.5, and that refers to the natural mortality. In the first model, well, in both models, the survey was split between 1993 and 94 because there was a severe retrospective pattern in these models, and by splitting the survey, we were able to resolve the retrospective problem somewhat, but it's not to that split is just aliasing some unknown cause for the retrospective. It's not, we don't really believe there's been a change in the survey catchability, but it was it's just one way to deal with the retrospective. So the other part of these two models is the first model, the 0.2 model, the natural mortality is set at 0.2 for all ages, which would be ages 1 through 9 plus. And then for the 0.5 model, the natural mortality is set at 0.2 for ages 1 through 5, and then it's increased to 0.5 for ages 6 through 9 plus. And the benchmark considered that both these model formulations we should consider them both, go forward with both, until the 2003 year class has been documented and reaches ages 8 or 9, and that'll provide us some information on natural mortality, and hopefully we can determine which would be the preferred model at that point. Looking at the biomass, the 3-plus biomass, in this figure, the darker shade of blue is the 0.2 model, and the purple shade is the 0.5 model. And you can see that they have similar trends, they're just slightly different in scale. The 0.2 model gives a estimate of 6,394 metric tons of 3-plus biomass in 2010, and the 0.5 model gives an estimate of 9,260 metric tons. The increase you see since 2005 is due to the strong 2003 year class. Looking at comparing the survey and the 1-plus biomass, the solid line and the dashed line are the two models, and the single symbols are the three surveys, the NIMTS fall and spring and the DFO spring survey. And you can see that the survey indices have been fluctuating and the biomass around low levels since 1994, and that the survey and the VPA track fairly well. Looking at recruitment, the 2003 year class from the 0.2 model was estimated to be about 3.6 million, which is similar to the 1996 year class. The 2003 year class from the 0.5 model was estimated around 5 million, and that would be the strongest since the 1990 year class. The 2002 and 2004 year class are the weakest on record, only about 0.5 to 1 million. And the 2008 year class is similar to the 2007 and the 2005 year class. So the 2003 is supporting the fishery here. Looking at fishing mortality, again, in 2009, the F was 0.3 from the M.2 model, and it was 0.2 from the 0.5 model. The thing to note here is that although we've been able to decrease F in recent years, we're still above FREF. And we've been that way for an entire time series. Looking at the stock recruitment, currently we have low productivity here in 2010. The recruitment is in the low range here. And looking at the stock recruit plot, you can see that you're more likely to get higher recruitment at higher stock size, greater than 30,000 metric tons of SSB. Looking at the projections for 2011 relative to FREF, we have three probabilities listed here, 25, 50, and 75%. And if you look at the 50% probability of exceeding FREF in 2011, again, for the split 0.2 model, you would catch 1,000 metric tons, or if the split 0.5, you could catch 1,400 metric tons, and you'd have a neutral risk of exceeding FREF. Looking at the biomass projections, again, we had the three probabilities, looking at the 50% probability or neutral risk. In the split 0.2 model, if you were to catch 1,850 metric tons, you'd have a 50% risk of the biomass in 2012 being less than that in 2011, whereas with the split 0.5 model, that value would be 1,350 metric tons. Again, looking at the projection for the biomass, if you want to look at the risk, the 4-plus adult biomass in 2012 will not increase by 10%. A 50% risk of a neutral risk that you would get an increase in biomass. You'd have to fish at 1,100 metric tons with the 0.2 model, or 450 for the 0.5 model. And these are all summarized in this table. That I just went the last three slides, and you have all this information that was provided to you, but this just lists all the options, and this information was, of course, used when we set the quotas at the TMGC. So in summary, for Eastern Georgia's Bank cod, the F has been reduced, but it's still above FREF. A recent recruitment is generally poor. The 2003 and 2006 year class dominated the fishery in 2009. We still have low numbers of 7-plus fish along with reduced weights at age. We're at a low biomass. We've been there since the mid-90s. And fishing below FREF would help maintain a higher biomass. However, rebuilding is likely not to occur without improved recruitment. And the two models are considered equally viable, and both should be considered. I guess I'll just keep going through. So for Eastern Georgia's Bank haddock fishery, again, looking at the catch, the total 2009 catch was 19,700 metric tons. Canada landed 17,649 against an 18,900 metric ton quota, and the U.S. landed 2,058 metric tons against 11,000 metric ton quota. Looking at fishing mortality, F in 2009 was at 0.13, which is less than FREF, and we've been under FREF in this management unit since 1995. Looking at biomass, biomass is the red line, and we see that the biomass in 2009 was a record high of 157,300 metric tons, and that the 2010 biomass is now decreased a bit to 125,000. I'm not used to these large numbers. 125,100 metric tons of haddock. And, of course, this is the high biomass we saw in 2009 is coming from the 2003 year class, so we can expect the biomass is going to decline and now that the 2003 year class is moving through the fishery. Looking at recruitment, which is the solid bars, we see the 2000 year class, as I said, was 293 million age one fish. It's a record high. However, since 1990, the average recruitment has been about 9 million, with the exception of the 2003 and the 2000 year class. The 2005 year class is estimated to be about 24.3 million, which is near the time series average of 26.5 million. And the 2009 year class, the most recent year class, is 5 million, well below the long-term average. Looking at stock recruit, we see again that we get higher recruitment with higher biomass. Typically, you have a higher probability of getting a better recruitment between about 40,000 and 100,000 metric tons. The 2010 biomass is, as I said, is around 130,000 metric tons, and we can expect that the stock will decrease in the next few years due to this lower recruitment that we've experienced for the last 4 years relative to our boomer year class in 2003. Looking at the projections for the stock or management unit, for a 50% risk of exceeding FREF, a catch of 22,000 metric tons in 2011 will give you a neutral risk of exceeding FREF. And in 2011, the 2000 year class will be 75% of that yield. This graph is it's a figure of the partial recruitment. There's several lines on here. There are different year classes, but the idea is to look at the general shape. And what this is, it's the proportion of the population available to the fishery by age. So like a four-year-old is about 45% available to the gear, whereas ages 5 through 8, in theory, are 100% available to the gear. But by the time they reach age 9, it looks like they're only about 50% available to the gear. So we can expect that the catch, it won't occur in 2011, but in 2012, as the 2000-year class becomes age 9, and the selectivity decreases to about 50%, we can expect a lower catches besides the fact that, as I showed you before, the biomass will be decreasing because of low recruitment. And then this high large year class, as it gets into the older ages, will be less available to the gear. So in summary, for Eastern Georgia's Bank Haddock, we have low F in 2009, and we've been below FREF since 1995. And except for the 2000 and 2003 year classes, recruitment has averaged 9 million fish at age 1 in the recent 4 or 5 years. More than that. Biomass is high. The 2000 year class has reached its maximum biomass, however. And so the biomass is expected to decline to 68,000 in 2012 if we fish at FREF. Fishing up to FREF in this stock does not pose a conservation concern. Moving on to yellowtail flounder. Looking at the catch, the combined Canadian and U.S. catch in 2009 was 1,778 metric tons. The U.S. caught the majority of that at 1,689 metric tons. In Canada, did not have a fishery. They landed 89 metric tons. In this assessment, if you may remember from last year, we had two models, and that was because the 2008 and 2009 DFO surveys each had very large catches of yellowtail, and we treated those in the 2009 assessment by having an including and an excluding model. And at that meeting, we agreed that if we were able to, at the software, we would be able to combine, to use them together and use the variance to downweight these large toes. But at that time, we didn't have the software. But meanwhile, and this last year, the software was modified. So in 2010, we were able to go forward with one model. We continued with the split survey series, and now the large toes are included in the model, but they're downweighted by their variance. Looking at the biomass, we can see in this the biomass has fluctuated from in 1995 it was low at 2,100, increased to a high of 1,100 in 2003, then declined again to 2,900 metric tons in 2006. And now in 2009, it's at 13,000 metric tons. And 2010, it's at 14,600. and this is the highest biomass we've seen since 1974. Now, this perception of the stock has shifted somewhat from the assessment from last year, and this is because the 2005 year class, the new estimate is much lower, so our perception has changed, and the stock is 36 to 53% lower than what we saw in the 09 assessment. Looking at SSB, it's the purple line, we see that SSB in 2009 is 14,000 metric tons, is the highest we've seen since the mid-70s. Looking at recruitment, during 1998 to 2001, the average recruitment was around 22 million. The 2005 year class and the 2006 year class, they're 23 million and 22 million. However, the 2007 and 8 year classes are the poorest in the series at estimated to be 6 and 8 million fish at age 1. Again, so with the recruitment, as I said, for the 2007, 2008, and 2009 assessment had estimated this 2005 year class to be about 60 million fish. Now, in the 2010 assessment, that's been re-estimated to be 24 million. And the year class is just not showing up. It hasn't been seen in the survey, and the commercial catch hasn't been seen there as expected either. Looking at fishing mortality has been historically very high on this stock. Between 73 and 95, it was greater than 1. Then it declined between 96 and 03, shot back up. And then in more recent years, it's declined. And we're below FREF in 2008 and 2009 for the first time in this stock. So that's good news. Looking at the projection, again, the probability of exceeding FREF at a 50% risk level, you could land 3,400 metric tons, this figure with the dots in this midline, and this is a 25% risk and the 75%. If this assessment, the retrospective pattern has started to reemerge, and it tends to estimate a higher biomass. If you were to adjust for that, you would get an estimate. There's two ways to adjust, either by the numbers at age or as one number applied to the SSB. You would reduce your 50% risk would be more around 2,100 metric tons rather than 3,400 metric tons. Looking at the percent biomass increase in this, if your 2011 quota, if you want a 10% increase in the biomass in 2012, you'd have to fish around 1,900 metric tons. If you were to fish at this 3,400 metric tons, there would be no increase in biomass in 2012. In regards to the U.S. rebuilding, we calculate an F which results in a 75% probability of reaching 43,200 metric tons by 2014. That's the rebuilding criteria. But the rebuilding target cannot be achieved by 2014, even if we don't fish on this stock. The probability of reaching it by 2014 is only about 36%. If we redo the projection and use a more realistic recruitment, which is the more recent years, which has much lower recruitment, the probability of achieving a rebuilding was even further reduced below the 36%. So in summary, F was very high on this stock, but now we're below FREF in 2008 and 9. It's the highest adult biomass we've seen since 1974. There has been a change in the perception of the stock from last year to this year as we updated the 2005 year class. There's some increased uncertainty in this assessment because of the retrospective pattern reemerging, and the U.S. requirements for rebuilding are not attainable with the current productivity. So that's all the results.
Okay, I think what I'll ask for now is if George can give the TMGC's version of what they did with that information we just received. And we'll get motions up, and then we can have questions for Loretta and discussion about what TMGC is bringing to us at the same time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Andy Warhol said we all got 15 minutes of fame, but he didn't say when we were going to get it. So here we are. The TMGC summary document, the guidance document, was behind tab 3, document number 7. I'm going to go through a cliff-noted version of that I used at the U.S.-Canada meeting. As Loretta had said, the quota shares or the division between the U.S. and Canada for 2011, for cod it was 81% Canada, 19% U.S. For haddock, 57% Canada, 43% U.S., and for yellowtail, 45% Canada and 55% U.S. Excuse me. For cod, the tack that the TMGC arrived at for the 2011 fishing year was 1,050 metric tons. This is down from 1,350 metric tons in 2011. As Loretta had said, there was two model formulations that were considered. Both exhibited retrospective patterns that increased the estimates of fishing mortality and reduced the estimate of biomass. The proposed tack corresponds to an average of both models for a low risk of exceeding the FRF of 0.18. Under both models, a catch at this level is expected to result in a greater than neutral probability of biomass growth of up to 10%. And the proposed tack of 1,050 metric tons results in the U.S. share being 200 metric tons and 850 metric tons for Canada. The low catch the low proposed tack that we arrived on is intended to reduce the risk of exceeding FRF and took into consideration the strong retrospective patterns. The TMGC has expressed concern that if the trend in productivity remains, the current trend in productivity with low recruitment, fewer age 7 plus fish and low weights at age continues, obviously that's going to cause us issues in the future. Should I go right through to haddock and just buzz through the whole thing? Haddock was easier. The proposed tack for Eastern Georges Bank haddock for 2011 was 22,000 metric tons. As Loretta said, this results in a neutral risk of exceeding FRF at 0.26. The fishing mortality has been low, lower than FRF in 2008. It was 0.9 in 2008, 0.13 in 2009. The biomass is expected to decrease through time. And as Jimmy Odlin said, that's because they're dying of old age. Year class moving through the through the population. The proposed quota of 22,000 metric tons results in a U.S. share of 9,460 metric tons, a Canadian share of 12,540 metric tons. I think that's it for haddock. It was remarkably easy because we still have such high biomass. The proposed tack for Georges Bank yellowtail flounder that was arrived at was 1,900 metric tons. We had no agreement in 2010, so there's nothing to compare it to. This proposed tack corresponds to a low probability of exceeding the FRF and would result in an expected 10% increase in median biomass from 2011 to 2012. As Loretta mentioned, we have gotten the fishing mortality rate below FRF. It was 0.15 in 2008 and 2009. We had that. The reemergence of the retrospective, which caused us some caution. The proposed tack of 1,900 metric tons would result in a national quota for the U.S. of 1,045 metric tons and 155 metric tons for Canada. And the proposed TAC has a less than 50% probability of exceeding FRAF relative to the sensitivity analyses. And I believe that is it. The one other issue I'll mention, and I think you've already tasked the Groundfish Committee to look at it. I had a couple council members who asked me about the issue of trading TAC with the Canadians, and the TMGC thought that was worthy of further discussion, and so I bring that back to the council, and I understand that's already being worked on by the Groundfish Committee. So that is my report. Thank you. And after questions, I have a at the appropriate time, I have a motion to put up on the board.
All right, why don't we put the motion up on the board and then we can have a discussion.
The motion on behalf of the committee is move approval of the following 2011 quotas for the U.S.-Canada sharing area. Cod would be Cod 1,050 metric tons, a U.S. share of 200 metric tons, the Canadian share of, that's way too many. Whatever the Canadian share is, we'll figure that out. It's 850. So much for my writing on the chair. For Haddock, the proposed quota is 22,000 metric tons, a U.S. share of 9,460 metric tons, a Canadian share of 12,540 metric tons, and yellowtail flounder quota, 1,900 metric tons with U.S. share of 1,045 and a Canadian share of 756. On behalf of the committee.
It's a committee motion discussion. Any questions? Or, by the way, thank you, Loretta, and thank you, George. Questions or comments for either? Jimmy?
We have some questions for Loretta. Seems like every time I read this, I see something that I need to ask a question on. But the question is on haddock, and it kind of bothers me that we've had this huge biomass, and we realize we're not getting any recruitment out of it. And, you know, now I see a statement in here that says higher recruitment when you get the biomass within a range. And that's fairly new. I don't remember seeing that in the past. Or was I missing that? In other words, it says a higher recruitment when the spawning stock biomass is between 40 and 100. Has that always been there, or is that new?
Well, I mean, that's just looking at the figure, and you can see figure 22 that you have a higher probability just looking at the figure. I don't think we ever said in the past. Well, in the past, we were never above 100. It was always, if you were above 40, you had a higher probability of getting higher biomass. I think these last 4 years that we see on the right-hand side, I really don't think we can say anything. It'd probably be more better to just say that at above 40,000, you have a higher probability of getting recruitment, better recruitment.
I mean, the reason I'm asking that is we've been up to 160 and we haven't seen any recruitment. So.
Well, I think we have to be cautious. We only have 4 points. When you can look at all the points between 40 and 100, we've got like 25 points in there, and there's plenty of them between 40 and 100 that were as low as what we've seen in the last 4 years. So I think until we have, a few more years in here to see, we don't know why it's lower at that higher biomass.
Right.
It could be environment. It could be we don't really know. So I think it's a bit too soon to say.
Okay. May I, Mr. Chairman, continue? The other question I have is the idea that age 9 fish become less vulnerable to the catch. I don't understand that. I understand it in pollock, but I don't understand it in haddock. Why is an older fish, an older haddock, less vulnerable to fishing gear?
I agree. Well, it's more of a model artifact at this point. I think when the 2003 year class moves through the fishery, gets to that age, we may see whether or not it actually is more fully recruited. But the way the model's set up, it assumes that their vulnerability is declining by that age.
Okay, and then may I continue? I had one more point. This is for the council. I mean, on page 9 of the haddock catch, Canada caught 17,000 tons, U.S. caught 2,000 tons. That's pretty poor performance. Pretty poor performance from a council point of view. You know, I've been on this one particularly for a few years, and I can remember when this council sat around and said, well, we're going to husband these fish. Well, we've husbanded them all right. We husbanded them to death, and we didn't get anything out of it. You know, I submit if we get a situation like this again, we ought to be a little more aggressive in letting the U.S. fishermen capitalize on a resource that's clearly well above any range we thought it was going to be, because we got nothing out of this, nothing. And that's just wrong. So that's just a statement. The other thing I just want to point out, and this is to George and to the rest of the council, is that under TMGC, and it's just something I want to flag for us to watch, that when we first entered this agreement, we had a share of the Eastern Georgia's bank cod of around 35%. And now we're down at 19%. It's something that needs to bear watching for the future. I mean, if that continues to drop, we're going to have to do some considerations of what we want, how we want to approach things going forward. I don't know if it will. I'm hopeful it won't. But it's just something we need to flag for the future people to be looking at. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy. Other comments or questions from council members? Mary Beth?
Just one quick one for Jimmy. Why is it that our percentage keeps going down?
Yeah, it's in the agreement. The share of these resources are set based on survey information. So if the surveys show that there's more fish on the eastern side, this is theoretically a simple explanation, that there's more fish on that side of the line, than that the share percentages change to reflect the Canadian and the U.S. surveys. And that happens in haddock, and it happens in yellowtail, and it happens in the cod. I think we went up a little bit in our share in haddock and down in yellowtail and cod this year. Both. Okay.
Any other questions? Dr. Weinberg?
Quick question for Loretta. I think with the Eastern Georges Bank yellowtail, you had said that the stock was high now, highest since the 1970s, but yet even with a really low fishing mortality rate now, it's difficult to rebuild. How much higher does it have to get to be rebuilt?
Well, based on the U.S., the last reference point analysis, it's 43,000 metric, some odd chain metric tons. So it's quite a bit in order, you know. That's what we were saying. We couldn't reach it by 2014. We only had a 36% probability of reaching it by 2014. So.
Anyone else on the council? Anyone in the audience? Back to the council. I just point out something, pick up where Jim Odlin was. The trend on cod, not only is the percentage going down for the United States, but the overall quotas continue to trend downward. The amount that we share with Canada. And just note that in the specs that we're operating under on our domestic fishery, we have the quota going up for the next 2 years on Georges Bank. That's based on GARM 3. So GARM 3 was telling us the stock should projecting growth in the stock, and we set our ACLs based on that information, but yet we have an annual look at the eastern side of our domestic resource, and the trend keeps going in the opposite direction. I can't help but wonder where we're going to end up when we finally get around to assessing the domestic Georgia's cod again. So at this point, pretty interesting. Anything further before I call the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Abstentions? One abstention. The motion carries 16-0. One abstention. Anything else under TMGC, TRAC?
One final thing, Mr. Chairman. I want to give my thanks to council staff, regional office and center staff. They helped us in the preparation for the meeting, during the meeting, and the follow-through. So my appreciation for that.
Great. Thank you, George. Thank you, Loretta. I guess we're